Good morning, everyone. This is my first message of 2019. And the reason why is because Linda's been hogging the pulpit, and hasn't she done well?
Amen.
You know, if you want to know a little bit about Gateway Church, you know, in December we were doing an Advent series, but man, Jenna was coming home. And Jenna's our third-year Bible college student, and I thought, we went to visit her in November, was it? And at lunch I said, Jenna, would you like to preach? And she says, yes. And I thought, wow, you know what? To have our Bible college student, third-year Bible college student come, and then also to preach, and she did great, you know? And she did great. And then to have her mom and her dad come for the very first time and serve communion to her church family. Like, do you know what that is like? And then the last Sunday of December, Linda preached, and Linda's a very good communicator. And I said to her, I said, Linda, why don't you do the first Sunday in January as well? And that's the kind of church that we are. Okay, so the title senior pastor, okay, we don't use that around here. What happens is we raise up and we release people in here. So I don't have to be preaching here every week. You know what I mean? Jenna needs to be preaching. Randy could preach. You know, Ty could preach. Linda could preach. Some of you can in the house here. And that's what it's all about. Isn't it great? It's a family. This morning, I want to look at ways to actually deepen your faith. And it's not a to-do list. It's not a how-to-do list. It's really because it's my first message of the year. It's not going to be an expository message, but it's going to be a message from my heart. Okay? It's what I'm passionate about. It's what gets me up in the morning. It's the possibilities. It's the gold that I see in all of you. And I trust that you've enjoyed Linda's messages over the last couple of weeks. Challenging? Would you say challenging? They're always challenging. I've enjoyed it. Do you know what? You know what I loved? I loved being able to sit here and not really do a lot in the service, but go to church. Have you ever wondered that preachers, sometimes they just need to go to church? They just need to go to church. We just need to. And you know what? You know what I arrived at? I thought, you know what? If I wasn't the pastor of this church or one of the pastors of this church, would I actually want to attend this church? You know? And I thought, and I looked and I listened and you know, and I greeted with all the people. And you know, and I thought, absolutely. You're very special, special people. I didn't say perfect. I said, but very special, with a heart for God, a heart for each other. And this morning, I want to speak from my heart and share my expectations for you and for this house of worship and this house of prayer. Just before I do that, I just want to share another little thing for you that happened to me on Friday morning. About 7:30 on Friday morning, I got a text message. And I put this on Facebook, so some of you are going to hear a repeat performance here. But I got a text message at about 7:30 in the morning and said that a certain child in our church wants to know what your middle name is. And I thought, wow, that's interesting, middle name. So I texted back Robert, and I got a text message a couple of minutes later. And what it was the mom said, she's writing it out, your name out on a piece of paper. I had perma-smile on my face all day Friday, okay? So I don't know, so this is what I'm thinking. So I don't know why I was the topic of conversation between a 6 or 7-year-old and a mom. I don't know if that mom was praying for me with her child, because I know some of the moms in the church and dads in the church do that. They pray for us every single night before the children go to bed. They cover us. But that was pretty amazing. Wasn't that amazing? Wow. So those are the things that make me really, really thankful to pastor. You know, those special moments, you know. And so that's one of the special things. Amen? Talk about a wonderful feeling. So I want to begin by sharing a favorite verse and this morning. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. I'm not preaching on these verses. I'm just going to read them, and then I'm going to... Can everyone see that?
Yeah.
Is that okay? And then I just want to share why they're my favorite verses. Some of you know, but it says this, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." I want this for you. I want this so desperately for you. I want it so desperately. How desperately? Desperately. Okay? Passionately. I want that for you. When those verses were given to me when we first became Christians in a book called Hearing God, I think it was, Bob, who turned out to be a spiritual father, wrote the book, wrote the verses in the column beside, and he says, "These verses are for you." And when I read these verses, I don't remember the book, but I remember the verses, how they just touched me so deep, deep, deep inside. And as we went along and I became a pastor, training for a pastor, I loved these verses all the time. And I'll just put them back here for a second. But something happened. The first eight words of these verses, would you just read them for me? "For this reason I kneel before the Father." And something happened when I read these verses and I started to study a little bit about the verses. And Paul wrote these verses to the, of course, the church at Ephesus. And I thought, Paul was writing different times to Timothy. He was talking, you know, not only was he spreading the gospel, but he was raising up leaders and he was raising up pastors. And I thought, when I read those verses, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." So when I read these verses now, and I'm a very passionate guy and I love God and all of this, I kneel before the Father for you, so that everything that happens in those verses will start to manifest in your life supernaturally. Okay? So this is not a message on, you have to do this, you should do this, you should do this. It's just our pastors, we desire so much that you will have total freedom in Christ and be able to walk in the Spirit because of what is said in these verses. Amen? I want this for you so badly for two reasons. For two reasons. One is for you, and one is for him. Well, three reasons, and one is a very selfish reason. I want you to mature in your faith, walking in the Spirit, full of confidence. Full of confidence. I want it demonstrated in this house so that seekers, first-time guests, will be attracted to his glory within this house. Did you hear me? I want those things so that seekers and first-time guests will be attracted to His glory within this house. I don't care what the world says about people not wanting to go to church or anything else. I believe that if the manifested glory is active in your life, that people will be attracted to Christ. Okay? When we look at the Quran and we think of it as a book just full of violence, the world, when they look at our Bible without their eyes being opened up to Christ, they see it as a book of violence as well. Okay? So why is it that all of a sudden that we could look at stories in the Old Testament and we could look at it and we could still see God's love through all of the things, some of the things that are very, very difficult in the Bible, we look and we say, oh my goodness, I still scratch my head because we see it through eyes that have been opened up to His glory. Amen? And I want this. And secondly, I want it for the kingdom. I want it demonstrated in this house. So let me ask you a question. Linda's been right on you about Scripture and everything, and you know, I hope you haven't made reading the Scripture a checkoff box legalistically. I was listening to Joyce Myers this week, and she was just blasting like about, I don't know how many people she preaches to, but, you know, like 40,000 people standing there. She says, you know what? Just read your Bible. She says, don't get into these legalistic things where it's a check, 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 check. She says, that's legalism. But have you been moving forward in your Christian walk? I think Linda gracefully challenged us the last couple of weeks. Or maybe this morning you still struggle to enjoy a real relationship with God. Any of you here? You're just struggling to enjoy a real relationship with God. Did you know that you can have a consistent and persistent relationship with the Lord? Did you know that? As P.L. was teaching, that's P.L., by the way. Yeah, P.K. and P.L., you know, so it's funny, eh? But as she was teaching, she says, use the word to move beyond spiritual stagnation, be intentional, and aim for maturity in your journey. So let's look at some actions that we have this morning. And it's going to be up on the thing, but number one is accept Him. I know that some of you have had knowledge. You say, oh yeah, I've accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. I don't mean that. I mean accept Him. Accept Him. Perhaps you wonder if sometimes if you have faith. Have you ever wondered if you have faith? You've been walking with the Lord for a long time. You say, I wonder, man, if I have faith. You know? Do I get this? Do I walk in this? As you come to Him, you must come in faith and accept Him wholeheartedly. Right? We accept Him wholeheartedly, and I know that sounds good, but we need to do that. You need to give Him your life, your heart, your soul, your spirit, your entire body. You need to give it completely over to Him because God has great love and compassion for all humanity, that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, to rescue every one of us from a sinful nature. He rescued you from a sinful nature. So we can't just kind of walk in that as good information. We need to walk in that with a thankful heart. We need to walk in that, and we need to accept Him. We need to accept Him no matter what the circumstance of life happens. We need to accept Him. God came to give you this morning more of an abundant life. You know, and for some reason we look at the word abundant life and we take the biblical sense out of it and we look at, oh, abundant life, it's more party time. It's more, you know, I don't know what we think of, but He came to give you an abundant life. And when you receive Jesus as your personal Savior, you allow Him to change you. Amen? You know, I've allowed Him to change me. How many of you here this morning have had anger issues in your life? Okay? You have a short fuse, you know. So I have enough pride at me so that if you contradict me or something like this, I might snap at you, you know, like anyone? You know? And I need to allow to give myself to the Lord because I know that that's an area, not recently, but that was an area in my life that I needed to submit to Him, because what happens is the more I thought I knew, I realized I didn't know nothing. Amen? The next thing we need to do is we need to trust Him. We need to trust in Him. When you put your confidence in God, you build a strong foundation on His Word and on His promises. Amen? How many of you know that more recently you've had to depend on Him and trust in Him for His promises in your life? Amen. How many this week? Okay? And we need to do these things consistently. I'm talking about relationship here this morning, folks. I'm not trying to give you an intellectual apologetic here this morning. I'm just trying to help us to walk in relationship, because, and you're going to see the reason why. It's not just, this is for you part. But remember I said there was two reasons? And there's a second reason that will be coming. His ways are wise, and He shows His wisdom to the ones who seek Him. So be humble and obedient. Trust in Him with all your heart, as Proverbs 3 and 5 says. Trust in Him with your whole heart so He can guide your steps. So that He can guide your steps. I need Him every day to guide my steps. Amen. The next one is to be transformed by Him. Transformation. Do you have any evidence to show that you're growing in your faith and as a Christian? Think about yourself for a second. Is there any evidence? If I was to come and I was to say, Kathy, give me some evidence. Tell me. Give me some evidence of how you're growing in your faith. Would you be able to just give me an answer? You know? It's a good question. It's a good question. The Bible tells us that God wants us to get serious about living for Him. Amen? There's a reason for it. It's not just for us. In our culture, we have made it all about us. We've made it all about us, but it's not just about us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit helps you understand His Word. The next is to abide in Him. Linda loves that chapter in John chapter 15, to abide in the vine, you know, and she's often preached that. And since you've been adopted, has anyone here been adopted? You know, is any of you, were you adopted? You know, I'm so glad you're here.
Not really adopted. I just feel like I have been adopted by my mother-in-law.
And by all of us. Okay. Amen. Amen. And so, since you've been adopted into God's family, you are His child. You know? You're His child. I'm a child of God. And He wants to have a close relationship with His children. Amen? He wants to have a close relationship with His children. How great is the love of the Father that is lavished on us that we should be called children of God. You share in an inheritance with other believers. In this house you share. Dick, it's your first time here this morning. We share the same inheritance, my brother, from a different mother. Amen? Amen. And when you abide in Him, you can pray without ceasing. It says, oh my goodness, how do you pray without ceasing? You people, you holy rollers, how do you do that? You go into your closet, you pray for an hour, blah, 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 blah. You know how you do it? You abide in Him. That way you could pray without ceasing because you want to, because you're not obligated to. You just pray. My brother, I'm praying for you right now as I'm preaching right now. My sister over here. You could do that, you know. I walk around and, you know, some men can multitask. I walk over here, I'm still preaching my message and I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm praying for you. Okay? Praying ceasingly, you know, because you love. When you have the love of God within your heart, you just want to get rid of it. You want to give it away. Amen? The next one is to love Him. Love God. Love God. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. If you find you're having difficulty growing in your faith, join a group of people that will encourage you, who desire to live for Christ and to get closer with Christ. When I spend too much time by myself, you know what? My brain starts to put hypotheticals, the what ifs, the buts in there. And then all of a sudden I need to get with someone who is passionate about Jesus. And all of a sudden they draw me out of that funk. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay? You need to be with people, you know. And sometimes what happens is you need to be with someone who is a bushfire out of control. Okay, that will take you to a level up here, and then you kind of, instead of being with someone where it takes you to a level way down there and you have to march out of the pit, I'd rather come down than have to, all to, you know, yeah, thank you. Amen. So love Him. Join a group. Allow us as your pastors, the gift of a pastor, as I'm discovering over many years now of pastoring, is a very, very special gift to the body. I never used to be able to say that because I didn't really kind of understand it. But the gift of a pastor to a church is a tremendous gift. And we have pastors' hearts. We have a heart, like, okay, we're so not perfect. But man, one thing we have is a pastor's heart. So allow your pastors to really disciple you. Okay? To disciple you. God inhabits the praises of His people. Nurture your relationship with God, feeling His love and presence. I looked around today as we were singing a couple of the songs, and I was just so thankful for a congregation who is just worshiping God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Yes. So, I just want you to walk with Him. What's that song? Oh no, it's recorded and here I go singing again. That's that song Sharon goes, and He walks with me, He talks to me,
and He tells me I am His own. When
we were in Guelph, we used to have a group on a Thursday morning that I used to lead, that they gave me the privilege of leading, and I was the youngest one there, and everyone that was there was, some were really, really old. They lived really old at Parkview Church in Guelph. To this day, there's one lady, Angela, and I don't know how old she is. I mean, I think she must be older than you even there, Dorothy, And you know what? And I had the privilege. And you know what I'm talking about, Sharon, because you've done this for 40 years at Castleholm. And we used to sing this song. And I used to see people who, not because it was a tradition to sing a song, but these were people who would sing, and He talks to me, and He walks with me. I don't know all the words. And you could see them just interceding and tears coming down their cheeks and praying for their families. Because they pastored their families for many years and they just wanted their families to walk close with the Lord. So walk with Him. He is the good shepherd and He knows His sheep and His sheep know Him. Amen? And then next is live for Him. Your time on earth is a gift from God. Every moment when you get up. When I get up in the morning, and you know what? I have more years behind me now than ahead of me. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, and probably most of you do. And when I could get up in the morning and I can just take my foot up, and I can't because this thing is here, take my foot up and just put on my sock without having to sit down or to no grunt or groan and everything. You know what? I thank God for that, because you know what? Our time on earth here is a gift from God, and we use this time to serve Him. So you know that leadership is influence. Did you know that? Leadership is influence. And so what that means is every day when I get up, if leadership is influence, who am I influencing today? Who am I going to influence today? So when I get up and I say, oh, another day, Lord, who am I going to influence for you today? I want to be a leader. All of you are leaders. If you're influencing someone, you're a leader. John Maxwell says that if you're going for a walk and you're going for a walk and you turn around and no one's following, all you're doing is going for a walk, right? But we could influence people. So we live for Him. The next thing we need to do is we need to rest in Him. Amen? At times you may feel fatigue. How many of you, you know, it is cold weather today. Like I felt for you, Alfredo, this morning. It was like you were sitting, and poor Alfredo, he was just shivering, you know. This Ecuadorian drummer, you know. We needed Melissa to have that praise set at the beginning to warm him up. But you know what? How many of you, the north is tough, hey guys? It's different, isn't it? You know, like you lived in Milton before you came here, you know, Mariba and Jordana right there. Everyone say hello to them, you know. And sorry, I'm not supposed to do that, but you know what? You're so nice, you know. I'm getting to know you, so I want everyone to know you because you're so nice. But it's cold, eh? You know, it's like, so you go to work here. You got to get up earlier because the chances are you have to clean off the car. Amen. Not only that, but you got to warm up the car because when you get into the car, it's freezing cold. Amen. You know, and so life is not as easy, even though they have winter in Milton and Mississauga and Toronto. You know, if you go to Toronto right now, I don't think they have any snow. And look, we're 3 hours from Toronto. Is this a different planet here? So you know what? Sometimes you feel fatigue, right? Or sometimes you feel fear, right? Fear is not of God, but guess what? You know what? Sometimes we feel fear. Sometimes we feel failure. You know, how many times, like, I have a big project that I'm working on right now, you know, and I could do it. Linda and I built our webpage, you know, like, we could do whatever we need to do. But you know, that fear sets in. It's like, oh, man, I don't know how to do this. And then you got to get those sweats. It's like, oh, man, you know. But you know what? We'll do it. We'll do it. We rest in Him. And you need to rest in Him. He is a place of refuge for you. Did you know that? Are you encouraged this morning? Because all I'm doing is I'm speaking my heart to you. So continue in faith with joy, and He will invigorate. He will invigorate you, bringing purpose if you rest in Him. So God gave you this amazing ability to choose what's important in your life. So everything I said this morning, I want for you. I want it desperately for you. I want it really bad for you. Why? Two reasons. I want you to be mature in your faith, walking in the Spirit with full confidence. But secondly, I want it for the kingdom. I want it demonstrated in this house so that seekers, first-time guests, will be attracted to this house, right? Because they recognize His glory in each of you. You notice this morning I didn't promote one program. We just said there's connect groups, you should go to them, so sign up. But we didn't stand up here waving a Gateway flag and saying, you know, you need to come to this church for this, for this, for this, and this, and this. And this is what we're presenting for you and for the city. So, you know, sign up and come, and you'll be wowed when you come in because we're so talented and so gifted. We have all these worship people, and we have amazing teachers. Didn't say one thing. This is what I said. they will recognize his glory in you. Where the rubber hits the road, folks, that's church. That's what the church is, okay? The church is the non-believer recognizing the glory of God in you, because what happens is you're a product of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19, and the other things that I said, the eight things that I set up there. You're accepting him. You're being transformed by him. You're abiding in him. You're walking in him. You're resting in him. You're trusting in him. You're loving him. You live for him. Okay? And when those things are happening, and get rid of the junk. There's some of you this morning, but you don't know, like, you know what? I watched Joyce Myers a couple of times this week. I don't really watch a whole lot of people, but sometimes I like her, you know, because she gets a laugh where some people wouldn't get a laugh, but she says, oh, get over it. Like, what is wrong with you people? You know what I mean? Just walk in it. You want to be fruitful, walk in it, okay? Like, stop dragging your feet, people, you know, and it's like, and everyone's laughing. There's like thousands and thousands of people and they're laughing. And she gets away with it. So I think I'm going to make once in a while put one of her clips up here. Because she would get away with it more than I would. But you know what the thing is? Just walk in this. And see the transforming glory of God start to change people. Amen? Amen? We are seeing husbands who have not attended church start to come. Okay? That's huge. This buddy over here, he walks into a prayer meeting on a Wednesday night and he gets saved. And then a few months later, he stands up and he testifies in the house. And he thanks the body for it. It's the glory of God. It was not because we're so faithful that we have a prayer meeting every Wednesday night. It's the glory of God. When you walk in the place on a Wednesday night and hopefully on a Sunday morning and any time, the glory of God should knock us over because of who you are, because you're walking in these things. I want this church to be full, not because I'm a church growth guy. I want this church to be full because people's lives will be transformed because your lives are being transformed and the glory of God is shining through each of your lives. Amen? That's not asking for a lot. I want us to make a great impression on people. You know what? We're in the next number of months. We are going to set up an information table in the front. And when people come in electronically, they could register their kids for classes. So we're getting away from paperwork. And, you know, so if you come in for the very first time, you'll be given a beautiful cup. Not like those old Texaco mugs, you know. You'll be given a beautiful mug and a gift for first-time guests. And we're just going to step it up. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be pretty slick, you know. It's going to be good. People are going to be respected. They're going to be honored. They're going to be valued when they walk in. It's like, whoa, look at these people, man. Like, they're all right, you know. But you know what? That's a good impression. But I want us to make a first impression on people because they're drawn to the glory of God in each of you. Amen? So as we work together with this, if you get it, if you're passionate, if we're on the same page with this, we will see signs and wonders and miracles that give him all the glory because we're being obedient to him. One of the hallmarks of a spiritually healthy church is that they work hard to make a good first impression. Helping others make the leap from staying home to being glad they came is essential. You know, seriously. You know, I'm glad I came here this morning. You know what? I was greeted pretty sweet by a lot of nice people. I met some beautiful couple, first-time guests here, just new from North Bay, from Newmarket. I would have missed you if I hadn't come to church. One of the hallmarks of a spiritually healthy church is that they work hard at making first impressions. Helping people make the leap from staying at home to being glad they came is essential. I know the demographic is changing. I'm not dumb. And I know that one of the Sundays before, I'm only going to be a couple more minutes. It's my first Sunday, so don't fall asleep on me. But one of the first Sundays before Christmas, it just seemed that we have a lot of kids in this church, and it just seemed that all the families with their kids were all here one Sunday, and it was so nice. Like it seemed very, very full in here. It was just like you could hear all the chatter, and it was sweet. And I get it, okay, that you know all of a sudden if Nat wakes up on a Sunday morning and Balin and Emerson are throwing up all over the place, the chances that they may not be coming to church. Okay, and so that could happen. So if you have two, three families that have four kids and stuff like this, and that happens all of a sudden, you know. So I get it, the demographic is changing. And then there's the millennials that they think that when they show up for church once every 6 weeks that they're doing well and that's regular attendance these days. I get it. Okay? I get all of that. And I'm not saying this to put anyone down. But you know what? Regardless of what the world is saying, we still need to be together as brothers and sisters. Okay? And all your excuses, Joyce, could I put... Okay, now you're speaking to Joyce. Get over it. All the reasoning is not of him. We only get one chance to make a first impression. Am I right? Did we make a good first impression this morning? See, did we make a good first impression when you came? We only get one chance to make a first good impression. That's the second part. So when you're walking in that and you're walking in Ephesians chapter 3 and stuff like this, the impression that we make when people come in here is supernatural. Okay? It's awesome. I had someone, a young pastor, I messaged on Friday night, and I said to her, I said, "So what's new? How's your life and everything?" And she messaged back, and Linda knows her too, and she says, "I've never met anyone like you." Okay? She lives in Collingwood. Just put upon my heart. I want people to say about you people, "I've never met anyone like you." Okay? Never met anyone like you. Don't take it as weird. I used to think I was weird. I'm not. I'm unique. Okay? And I've been around long enough, I don't care anyways. Okay? But be unique for God. Okay? When you look into someone's face, you know, look for gold in that person and draw it out of that person and allow the gifts of the Spirit to be flowing through your life and giving and giving and giving. So the first part was for you. The second part is for the kingdom. It's to grow this baby here, this baby we called Gateway Church that was birthed many years ago, and there were words that were spoken over this church that this house would be full. And maybe in the early days when we didn't understand leadership the way we understand it now as we're growing in our faith, maybe we understood it as full in numbers. And now we know that it's full, and not just in numbers, but in maturity, in healing, and people coming in this place. There's been people in this that have come into this house that have been written off by society that are functioning highly in this house because we've seen gold in them. Amen? So one of the hallmarks of a spiritually healthy church is that they work hard making a first impression. And that's much more likely to happen when we experience friendly, fruitful, committed people with expressions of love and care. When we are deeply committed to Him and each to each other, the commitment to follow Him does not seem like work anymore. So if you're asked to serve in the church, you say, "Oh, I'm too busy, it's too much work." Then you know what? I don't need you anyways. Okay? But when you're walking with the Lord, what happens? It's not serving. It's not work. Mary Ann is a beautiful lady. She serves on our pastor's council, and her term was going to be up, but she'll be staying an extra time. And we said, "Are you okay with that?" And she says, "Oh yeah." She says, "I love it." She serves the church. She serves the church. Look at a smile on her face. She comes in here. You know, if you ever need to be encouraged, go see Marianne. You know? And many of you, am I right? Like, she serves on our pastor's council. That's just one of them. Look at the team that we have here. It's about caring for people. Doing ministry with this type of Holy Spirit excellence is exciting. It's exciting. And I believe this is an area that we can excel at, and we do excel at. Coming to a small church for the first time is an act of great vulnerability. Hear me? So we have to work harder. Look, if you look around, beautiful building, sounds good, good worship and everything. But you know, we're not a huge church, right? I'm okay, you know what? We're a healthy small church. Okay, so you know what? But coming into a church for the first time, especially a small church, is an act of great vulnerability. And after all, it's easy to walk into a room of 100 people or thousands of people. You just kind of walk in and you're invisible. You walk in. But what happens when you walk into a church of 100 people or 50 people or even 20 people? And you, what do? You sit alone until the service starts? Do you walk up to strangers and interrupt the conversation? You know? It's bad to go to an unfriendly big church. Amen? It's really, really bad to go to an unfriendly big church. But an unfriendly small church is brutal. Okay? It is brutal to walk into an unfriendly... Jack, when he was alive, one Sunday he was coming back from Ottawa and he stopped at a church along the way. And it was a small church. And nobody, and Jack, like, come on. Like, you make eye contact with that guy and you're his best friend, okay? And the thing is, and he says, not one person said hello to him. People who flow in the Spirit don't do that. Okay? That's the difference, okay? You could have all the great programs you want to greet people when they come in, but people who do not flow in the Spirit do not do that because they don't care about that. But when you flow in the Spirit, what happens is you're looking around for who you could invest in with the love of God. That's right. Amen? Amen. So I believe that each of you honestly put this 8 things that in practice, and that we are going to touch lives like never before. Can you say amen? Amen. This is different, folks, today. This is a different feel than your first message of the year, okay? So it's not like the presidential address, okay? Oh, it has to be a good message, so I'm going to put on a new pair of shoes because we're giving a new budget or something like this. You know, this is not government. This is just from our heart to see lives changed. And I believe that if you honestly set some spiritual goals, not legalistically, but if you set some spiritual goals and you put into practice these 8 deep ways to deepen your faith, you will be more complete and those around you will be more complete and lives will be transformed. Amen? I am so done. Melissa, would you come and... God is good. See you next week. But wait, we're going to sing a song first. Worship team, would you come?